Our next presenter is Adrian Azaza. Dr. Azaza is a newly minted chiropractor from the Palmer College of Chiropractic in Florida and also has a diplomate status in nutrition. Dr. Azaza.
Good morning. My paper is titled Association Between Chiropractic and Allopathic Classroom Hours of Nutrition and Physical Activity with Lifestyle Modification Counseling Practice Patterns for Patients with Hypertension and Cardiovascular Disease in the U.S. between 1994 and 2014. All right, don't want to spend too much time here, but yes, I recently graduated. I've been doing research since I was in chiropractic school. I wrote a number of drafts. One of them was this one that gained me an award, a scholarship award, and you know will be published in January. I'm still working on the final draft. And achieved the diplomate status recently in nutrition because of my interest in nutrition as well. So let's move forward. All right, so what question was I answering on this paper? What was the hypothesis that I was trying to prove or disprove or find any results whatsoever on? And the question I formulated for this paper was, is there a correlation between hours of nutrition and physical activity and practice patterns of counseling? That was the question, right? And it's been a topic since the 80s when I was doing the research of Congress and the National Academy of Sciences were concerned about the number of classroom hours of nutrition. The you know American Clinical Society of Nutrition as well. But really two studies, and I listed one here, influenced the hypothesis. One was made by Kushner, and that was in 95 with a follow-up in 2010. And Kushner found that through a survey of over 1,000 doctors, 62% found that one of the main barriers for providing counseling was a lack of training, which I found interesting. But because hypertension and heart disease is such a big public health issue, we need to explore that further. A lack of training, we need to quantify what it means to have a lack of training, right, and just explore what that means. The second study listed here was for by Hart in 2013. It was more of an ecological study. Hart, it was a demographic study where, you know, he's trying to associate just the number of chiropractors and medical doctors with the mortality rate associated with hypertension. And he found a beneficial correlation between the demographic number of chiropractors with a low mortality rate compared to medical doctors had a higher mortality rate. And in his discussion, he mentioned, well, perhaps this is plausible because chiropractors have a tendency to provide lifestyle counseling more than medical doctors. But that wasn't really quantified as well. Like, what, you know, where are the values that demonstrate that, you know, chiropractors do provide more lifestyle counseling? So based on those two studies, that was the hypothesis. Let's quantify it. Let's see if there's any available data that can help us answer the question. That way we can target what the hindrance is or the barrier is as far as counseling these patients for a lifestyle modification. So that's the objective. Look for a correlation between classroom hours and nutrition, physical activity, and practice patterns, right, for hypertension and cardiovascular disease. So this bar graph was obtained from the IMS Healthcare Institute in 2011. And this bar graph is basically showing why hypertension is a public health issue, right? I mean, besides the fact that heart disease is the number one cause of death. But hypertension also has the most patients under therapy with 42.4 million, which is a little over 10% of the U.S. population. If you look at the second category, which is lipid regulators, that's less than half the amount of patients who are on therapy for hypertension. And, you know, high cholesterol, as we all know, can lead to hypertension anyway. So definitely a public health issue that deserved to be explored and quantified in order to show numbers as far as what is low training or high training or how many classroom hours and, you know, what do the practice patterns look like. So $42.4 million in 2011. This is just illustrating a drop in classroom hours of nutrition for medical schools. Unfortunately, there's no data for chiropractic school. That was something I calculated for this paper. But for medical schools, Adams and all, they've been measuring classroom hours of nutrition in medical schools. First one was in 2006, and there was a recent one in 2014. So this covers, about 9 years of, measuring classroom hours. You can see a slight decline. It was 23.9 hours of nutrition in 2006, and now in 2014 it declined to 19. These hours do not account for hours after medical school, right? And when you look at these numbers objectively, they don't really mean much unless we look at what the practice patterns are. Because you can have a certain amount of hours, but you may be counseling and, the issue may be a lack of compliance, right? So we need to explore that further. So, this is depicting basically the hours measured when I measured the classroom hours of nutrition, both clinical and basic nutrition for chiropractic schools. It averaged 115, and it was data obtained from over half the chiropractic schools in the country. It's about 18, so that's where the 115 came from, and then the 21, which was the average from Adams and all the studies they made. So National Academy of Sciences, which I alluded to earlier, suggested 25 hours. They assembled a panel of experts, and they said, okay, how many hours, then, is enough hours, right, of nutrition in order to prepare doctors to counsel? And they came up with 25 hours, where the American Society of Clinical Nutrition came up with 37 hours. And, they came from a panel of experts. But again, we need to look at what the practice patterns are and how many classroom hours of nutrition are we looking at. So for this paper, the chiropractic schools were measured 115, and then I averaged the three studies from Adams for a total average of 21 hours. So this pie chart is just illustrating the percent of chiropractors who were providing nutrition counseling for patients with cardiovascular disease, and it was 58%, and that number, of course, should increase. Of course, through the study, I wasn't able to identify whether there was a barrier or there's a high rate of referrals or the frequency rate at which these patients are seen is not high enough. That wasn't calculated, but that would be an interesting additional paper to look into. But the majority of chiropractors did provide counseling. That was measuring data from the job analysis. So here, for this pie chart now, this would be the nutrition counseling performed by medical doctors, allopathic physicians, and it came up to 33%. I believe I used five studies, and the sample number of visits was in the millions. And the average was 33%. So 3 out of 10 visits, patients are being counseled in nutrition. I mean, patients with hypertension are being counseled as far as nutritional modifications. Right. Over here now, there's a calculation of physical activity. What I found was a study that actually measured the amount of physical activity classroom hours for allopathic schools and came up to 11. But, in most schools, it wasn't mandatory to have physical activity instruction or active care, right, and how to provide exercise counseling. So I had to measure the chiropractic schools, and it came up to 65. And I also added that, in addition to the active care and physical activity hours, chiropractors also have passive care hours, and it's in some states a mandatory board exam, right? The physiotherapy NBCE board exam. So again, 5 times higher, which were numbers at that point because we needed to correlate it with the practice patterns. Right? So this now would be exercise counseling. Not enough a statistical value because I only found one study where chiropractors provided exercise counseling for a patient with cardiovascular disease, and it was, in this case, measured by percent of patients. So 55.6% of the patients were counseled as far as exercise to prevent and treat cardiovascular conditions. And this would be then for the medical doctors, again, 33% of visits of patients with hypertension received exercise counseling, very similar to the findings for the nutritional counseling. So both nutritional and exercise counseling for patients with hypertension were performed in 33% of visits, right, in five studies measured. Okay, so finally get to the scatter plot, which is going to show us if there is a correlation between classroom hours and practice patterns. As you can see, we got 33% of visits for both exercise and nutritional counseling for allopathic physicians, and then about 115 hours for a chiropractor as far as nutritional counseling. So this study did find a correlation as far as nutrition goes. The majority of chiropractors provide nutritional counseling, where the allopathic physicians provided nutritional counseling in the minority of visits. This is now the scatter plot for physical activity, and it's demonstrating the same thing, basically a positive correlation, 33% of physical activity counseling for allopathic physicians, where 55.8% of patients were counseled by chiropractors. All right, so these are the results. These numbers, of course, as far as chiropractors, need to increase for allopathic physicians as well. And other variables have to be identified as far as barriers. Is it because of frequency or time or compensation or compliance? So as far as the conclusion, which was kind of a complementary or an extension of both the study performed by Kushner in 95 and then in 2010 and Hart, for both of those studies, I did find a positive correlation between classroom hours of physical activity and nutrition with practice patterns for both chiropractors and allopathic physicians. Thank you.